You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Moses, frogs, gnats, and flies. Moses, frogs, gnats, and flies. Today, on Words of Encouragement.
This morning, I entitled this, Moses, Frogs, Gnats, and Flies. And so I wonder what we're going to discuss this morning. Wonder what we're looking at today. What I want you to do, if you would, picture yourself on the Winnsboro walking trail. It's early morning. You're ready to go. I mean, it's early morning. And you're ready to go. You got your shoes on. You got them tied so you won't trip over them. You're ready to go on the trail. And you're making your way around the trail. And lo and behold, there's a rock on the trail. And you think, well, now, my goodness, I think I'll just, I need to move that rock because somebody's going to fall on that rock. Now, that's the way I think. I don't know if you think that way, but I thought, well, you know, let's just, so you're walking along, you see this rock, and then suddenly, the rock jumps. And you realize it's not a rock, it's a frog. Now, look, I like frogs, but early in the morning when they look like rocks and they move, that kind of gets you moving too. I mean, that kind of gets you going. It's a good wake-up call on an early morning walk. I don't know how many times that's happened to me, but I think, well, there's a rock. Look at that little rock, and then it moves. Oh, boy. Moving rocks. Way to go. But today, we're looking at Moses, frogs, gnats, and flies as we continue to look at the great stories of the Bible. And I'm going to ask if you're able and willing to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God as we look at chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Bible says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs. The Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. So the frogs will come up on you and your people and all your servants.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.'" Whew. May God bless the reading of His Word. I invite you to be seated. Wow. So what do we see here? Do we see a mean God? Some people would say God is a mean God, and they picture God as a mean God in the Old Testament. And some people have even said, look, He's just not the same God He is in the Old Testament as He is in the New. No, God's against sin. He's always been against sin. And He's never not going to be against sin. But in the Old Testament, we absolutely see evidence of His power, evidence of what He can do and what He does in order to defend His people. And as we look at this here today, we see a God who's seeking to help Pharaoh understand who He, God, is. We see a God who's teaching us that what He says, He means. We see a God who gives opportunities to us to do the right thing. He gives us opportunities. He gives opportunities to Pharaoh over and over to do the right thing. But He does not. But we see a God who gives us opportunities. We see a God who is a God who cares about us enough to give us more than just one opportunity to get things right. I don't know about you, and maybe I shouldn't share this, but when I was in college, I used to listen to Laura Schlesinger. How many of you have heard of her? You know who I'm talking about. Okay, some of you people have. Some of you people, listen to that. Some of us know. Well, all right. She had a call-in show, and you called in, and you just bore your soul to this woman whom you did not know, but was on the radio and could help you. And people do that. People would do, and people still do this with her. But at the end of everyone, at the end of the call, almost every call, she would say, "Now go and do the right thing." And I love that. Now go and do the right thing. Go and do the right thing. What a good word to share with people. Do the right thing. This is what God wants of you and I, is for us to go and do the right thing. This is His goal for us. This is what He wants of us. Not only does He want us to be one of His children, but He wants us to do the right thing. Live the right way. Be more like Jesus. Now let me remind you that you cannot be more like Jesus all by yourself. You have to have Jesus in order to be like Jesus. You have to have had a moment where you committed your life to Jesus and where you are in a relationship with Jesus in order to become more like Him. Now, you and I could imitate our favorite movie stars all day long. And some of us think we do a pretty good job. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, because we cannot be just like our favorite movie star if we're not living with that favorite movie star. If we don't know the ins and outs, if we have no type of relationship with them other than I like to see them in the movie. You know, that we are not going to be able to be like them if we do not know them, if we do not have a relationship with them. And so in order for us to be like Jesus, we've got to have a relationship with Jesus. This word for frogs that is mentioned in the Old Testament, I found this very interesting. This word for frogs that's mentioned here in the Old Testament is only in conjunction with this plague right here. It's only mentioned here in this plague, but in relation to this plague. Now, it's discussed in Psalm 78:45, Psalm 105:30, but that is in reference to this plague. And so this word that's used for frog is only used here. I thought some of you who like that kind of thing, there you go. I was told that some people love statistics, some people like that kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I try to remember to pull that in and let you know, because that is interesting. That is very interesting. Well, look at verses 3 and 4. This is just kind of yucky. The Nile will swarm with frogs. Okay, well, now that's all right. If there's frogs all over the Nile, I really don't like that, but that's kind of the water source, and at this point, we don't know if the water is still blood. Even if it's not, there's a lot of frogs in it, and that's kind of weird and yucky anyway. Well, it says, the Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and then go into your house. Now, wait a minute. That's where I draw the line. Now, wait a minute, I don't want frogs in my house. You know what I mean? I don't want that. And into your bedroom and on your bed. No. That's the creepiest thing ever, to have something else that's not supposed to be in your bed, in your bed. No. That is not what I like. And into the houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. Now, wait a minute. Now, this is getting a little ridiculous. Well, it's a plague. Yeah, it is meant to trouble. It is something that is used to trouble. Remember that last week we talked about that, the word plague. It is something that troubles. Well, oh boy, this is something that's troubling for sure. All in your house and your ovens, everywhere you look. Ugh. So the frogs will come upon you and your people and all your servants. Everywhere you look, frogs, frogs, frogs. In your oven, in your bed, in your food prepping bowls, everywhere. One frog, you know, here and there in the yard, that's kind of a neat thing. But not when they're everywhere. I mean, I remember when we'd find one in the yard, you know, he'd say, "Hey, boys, come here, look at the frog." And it's like, "Oh, cool. That's nice when it's just one. But when they're everywhere, no way. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have to deal with that. That's, what do you do? Do you call Jay the exterminator? You know, what do? Do you call him and say, "Hey, we got to get rid of these frogs"? He'd just tell you, "Well, they're here too. I mean, they're everywhere." I don't know what, I wonder what Jay would, you know, Trapper Jay would say. I got frogs everywhere, Jay. What do we do? What do we do? Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Look at verse 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams, and over the pools, and make frogs come upon the land of Egypt. Oh boy. Did Aaron obey God? Yes, he did. Frogs then came up, covered the land of Egypt. Ah, but here come the magicians. Pharaoh has his little magicians, and they come, and they with their secret arts, they made frogs come on the land of Egypt. Now again, think about this. Think about this. If these magicians could bring frogs onto the land of Egypt, why couldn't they stop the frogs that God brought on the land of Egypt? That seems like a better deal to me than adding to the problem. Oh, you can make frogs appear. Well, so can we. Okay, somebody's not thinking very well here. Somebody's not thinking very well to think that this would be a good idea. Look, we can do that too. We can make frogs appear. Yeah, okay. They added to the problem. A bit of insight into the significance, though, of the frog here. The frog was the representation, the image of the goddess, and I'm going to butcher her name, Hecht, H-E-Q-T, Hecht, the wife of the god Kum, and the symbol of resurrection and fertility. So in one way, frogs were good. They were highly looked upon by the Egyptians. But not when there's so many of them. Then there's a problem. So the presence of frogs in such abundance all over, everywhere, outside and inside the houses, brought frustration. Do you think? I would think so. Frustration, dismay, much discomfort. More than just a few frogs. Rather than the normal signal that the fields were ready for cultivating and harvesting. Look at verse 9. Moses said to Pharaoh, the honor is yours to tell me, when shall I entreat for you and your servants and your people that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile? When do you want this handled, Pharaoh? Hey, Pharaoh, let me know when you want these frogs to go, okay? Just let me know. I'm letting you have the honor of telling me when. Well, Pharaoh tells him, tomorrow. Now, I don't understand that. I would have said today, right now. I don't get that. Frogs everywhere, and when do you want them to go? Tomorrow. But that's what Pharaoh says. He says, tomorrow. But then what does Moses say? Look at verse 10. May it be according to your word that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. Ooh. Look, I'm going to let you choose when they leave so that you will know that God is watching, he's listening, and he's going to do it. He's going to give you the opportunity to say when, and he's going to do it when you say. He's going to show himself to you as our God. Moses is letting Pharaoh see that God can end the plague at a specific time. It is a display of God's power. This plague was brought to show Pharaoh that there was nobody like the God of Moses. He is supreme. Moses tells them, okay, look, the frogs will depart from them and their houses and their servants and their people, and they will only be found in the Nile. Well, look at verses 12 through 14. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. The Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. Can you say ooh? Say it with me. Ooh. Verse 14. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul. Ugh. Now imagine, now look, this is not a little pile. This is a pile. I mean, this is a lot of frogs. This is nasty, and they're all dead. The King James, I love the way the King James puts it. And the land stank. Ugh. I mean, this just puts it out there. It just stank. That's just nasty.
I mean, I can't imagine. It's bad enough when I was at Louisiana College and the grist mill was right across the road there. And man, on a bad day when the wind blew toward the college, you could smell it. And it was nasty. And I remember us going down to visit my aunt and my uncle for Thanksgiving. I remember us making our way down there. You'd start to smell it. And it was like, ugh. And I never understood why they couldn't get rid of that smell. Well, it's because that's where they did what they did. They made those telephone poles, and they greased them and got them all nasty. Ugh. But there's the smell, and I can't imagine the smell of dead frogs. That's nasty. Well, when facing a trial of life, when facing a horrible health diagnosis, a financial issue, or maybe even a relationship breakup, God is still God. God is still God. He's still supreme. He is still present. He is still with you. None of His power has been diminished just because something did not go the way you felt it should. He is holy. He is Almighty God. And He wants everybody to remember that and to know that, through experience. He wants them to know that He is God. Well, do you know that today? Do you believe that there is no one like God? Because you need to know that in your heart, in your head, and in your soul. You need to know that so that when times like that come, when bad times do come, because they will, you've got something to hang on to. You've got God. You need to know that. You need to know that in your soul. You need to know that in your head and in your heart. You need to know that there is no doubt He is there. He is present. He can help me. Because if you don't, listen, if you do not know this, you're going to fall apart. You're going to fall apart. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. It's just terrible. I'm in a bad way. I don't know what to do. Financially, I'm about to be ruined. What am I going to do? I'm this health diagnosis from this doctor. I didn't want to hear this. What am I going to do? If you don't know in your head, in your heart, in your soul that God is Almighty God, that He is Lord, that He is present, then you're not going to know what to do. You need to know that. You need to know that. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, hallelujah, he hardened his heart, and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Well, Pharaoh sees there's relief, and what does he do? He doesn't have a party. He doesn't say, yay, the frogs are dead. We're going to be okay. Everything's fine now. See what I did? He could have turned this. Man, think about this. Think about how politicians take things and twist them. Pharaoh could have said, yeah, I told their God to stop it. And he did. He could have done all of that. But no, what does he do? He hardens his heart. It was convenient to ask for the plague to stop and have it stop. But as far as acknowledging that the God of Moses is Lord, well, that ain't happening for Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not doing that. He's not going to bow down and say, oh, you're Israelites, your God is the God. He's not doing that. Oh, no, he's hardening his heart. He says, I'm not believing. Is this the kind of relationship that you have with God? You hope He will meet your need, and when He does, you don't follow up in any kind of relationship with Him? I'm telling you, this is going to someone, asking for help, they give you help, and then just never darkening their door, never thanking them, never acknowledging that they gave you help, that they were able to give you help, that they were in a position to give you help, and they gave you help. There's not a relationship happening there. Some people live this way. They only call on the Lord when they need Him. There's no relationship going on. He's just there to help us when we need help. There's no kind of, hey God, what are we doing today? Hey God, let me tell you about what happened to me. I know you know, but I got to get it out. I got to tell somebody, and I can't tell everybody. I got to tell you what happened to me today. Dear God, I'm upset. Did you see what happened to me today? I need to get it out. I'm angry. God, I need to tell you about what happened. Because I know that you have ears, and I know that those ears want to hear from me. Because you're my heavenly Father, and you love me. There's a relationship that's happening. But so many people live as if God is just this giver of help. He's some kind of provider. That's all he is. And you call on him and he provides and then you go on your way. No, that's not how it works. He wants to have a relationship with you. He is the Lord. My question for you this morning is, do you know him as Lord? Do you know him as Lord? The second thing we see. Again, God seeks to allow the Pharaoh to do the right thing. He gives opportunities. This is what gets me. It's so interesting to me that he gives him opportunities. Look at verses 16 and 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats through all the land of Egypt." Now, my version says gnats. Your version may say lice. It is a small little creature, insect. Just imagine, this is disgusting as well. Strike the dust of the earth that it may become gnats or lice through all the land of Egypt? Ugh, yuck. They did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. Oh, man. All the dust of the earth became gnats or lice through all the land of Egypt. Bah! Again, ugh. Now this is getting real bad here. This is getting personal. This is getting up on the people. You know, the other plagues dealing with the water and the frogs kind of got too close to the people. But then this is way too personal, okay? Way too personal. All the dust of the earth became small insects throughout all the land of Egypt. Ooh, just say no. I mean, just say no to that. We see the magicians. In a turn of events, though, cannot duplicate this. They tell the Pharaoh, listen to this, what they say to the Pharaoh. They say to the Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Whoa. Maybe some understanding here among these magicians that, wait a minute, this God they've got is more powerful than us. This God they've got, this, oh, there's something we can't... This is the finger of God here. Does Pharaoh listen? No, his heart is hardened. Moses is told to rise early in the morning and present himself before Pharaoh when he comes to the water. I love this. God knows that Pharaoh is going to the water. God knows that Pharaoh is going to be at the water. And so he tells Moses, look, go and meet him there. Say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Moses is to tell Pharaoh, if he doesn't let them go, then he will send swarms of flies on him and his servants and his people and into their houses, and the houses of Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies. How many of you go nuts if there's one fly in your house? Oh, man. It gets crazy in our house. We jump. We get scared at our house because Miss Suzanne is coming with that fly swatter, and you never know what she's going to hit or how hard she's going to hit it. I mean, it gets crazy, and it's like, whoa. And I mean, she's going to get that fly. One, just one. In these homes full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. It's just, again, nasty. To make them see that God is the Lord, God will divide his people from the Egyptians. Now, this is a very important part here. God's people won't have no flies on them. There'll be no flies on God's people. God has divided them out. There will be no flies. They are separated. Why? To show that they are special to God. God's saying to the Egyptians, these are my people. These are my people. Why? Y'all got flies all over you. My people don't have flies. We don't have flies on us. Because, look, God is protecting his people. He is showing them, separating them out, showing the Egyptians that his people are the called out ones. They are not to blend in with the Egyptians. Sure enough, the next day, God showed he was, permit me to say this, Lord of the flies. And the swarms came. And it is interesting to me that God uses something so small. Something so small. But boy, in mass, that's a terror to behold. You don't want to deal with that. But there it is. It's like he is showing Pharaoh that it's just, you know, Pharaoh, you're not as big of a deal as you think you are. The flies can overcome you. Oh, man. The flies can overcome you. You're just not that big a deal, Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart is heavy, and a heavy swarm of insects come to him. Many insects in Egypt are associated with the gods and goddesses. That they could not be killed, only endured. So if there was a swarm that came through every now and then, the Egyptians just endured it. But not like this. This was way beyond. The people could not eat with these flies everywhere. They could not sleep without these flies being there with them. They could not work without these flies. They couldn't even go for a walk without these flies. Now that's annoying. I mean, at least you can go inside sometimes, get away from some things. But they couldn't. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, "Then the Lord did so. And there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt." Oh, yeesh. Pharaoh calls Moses and Aaron and says, "Sacrifice to your God within the land." Notice he says, he calls God your God. This is the closest we've got to kind of an acknowledgement that their God is even real. Notice also, he does not want them outside the land of Egypt. But Moses knows that the Egyptians would consider the sacrifice of sacred animals as blasphemies. If they sacrificed an animal, which is fine in God's people, you know, that's fine for them to do. The Egyptians are like, "Oh, no, 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 all the animals are sacred. You can't do that." And Pharaoh says, "Y'all can do it, but just do it. Don't go outside the land of Egypt." Moses is like, "You know, no, that's not going to go well for us. That's not going to go well. In order for you and I as Christians to live the life we are expected to live, we will have to separate ourselves from the influences of the world. In order for us to live the way God wants us to live, we cannot be constantly under the influence of this world. I'm not saying we go live on a compound. Not saying that. And we're going to have our own compound. We'll mass our weapons together. No, we're not doing that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we cannot afford to have the constant influence of this world upon us without seeking direction and relationship with God. We will be influenced by the world. That is a given. The world will do its part to try to get us off track and influence us, but our part is for us to make an intentional decision to be influenced by God and not the world. That's our part. That's where we come into play, where we intentionally say, "I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm not going to do what the world is telling me is fine and okay. The world says so much is accepted now. There's no big deal. Nobody scoffs at much of anything anymore. And then nobody looks and says, 'Oh my goodness, I can't believe they did that.' They just say, 'Oh well, you know, they still got the job done and they do it well.' Yeah, but their moral life is a wreck. I mean, what in the world have they done to their family? Yeah, but they do the job okay." Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa. What happened to our standards there? The world says everything, you know, it's all right, no big deal. Look at verses 26 and 27. "But Moses said, 'It is not right to do so, for us to do this sacrifice in the land of Egypt in front of the people. For we will sacrifice to the Lord our God what is an abomination to the Egyptians.'" If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not then stone us? Moses knows what goes on. He knows how they feel. "We must go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us." Moses uses the most emphatic no in the Hebrew language here when he says, "No, it is not right to do so." It is capital N-O-T, not right for us to do this. We must leave the land of Egypt and then sacrifice to the Lord. He gives the most emphatic Hebrew no you can give. And he pushes again to go a 3 days journey into the wilderness. Look at verse 28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go. Did he really? He did. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me. Oh my goodness. It sounds like progress is being made. Sounds like Pharaoh's heart is being softened at least. Something, oh, this sounds pretty good. Look at verses 29 through 31. Then Moses said, behold, I am going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Interesting. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. The Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. Glorious day. Those flies, none. Can you imagine going on a picnic the next day? No flies. No flies. Coming in the house, leaving the door wide open. Oh, who didn't shut the door? You know, flies. Nope, no flies. Wow, sounds pretty cool. Sounds like things are getting a little bit better for Moses and the people of God. Look at verse 32. Oh, there it is. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. Oh. You don't mean Pharaoh lied? I mean, come on. He lied? Yeah, he did. He wanted his slaves. He liked his slaves. After the obvious displays of power and the greatness of God, you think Pharaoh would just give up and say, let y'all get out of here. Y'all, go, be gone. You would think he would be that way. But Pharaoh still refuses to be moved to believe in someone greater than himself. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Do you know him as Lord? Do you know God as Lord? Do you know him as Lord? Pharaoh did not. Are you refusing to trust in him? Are you one who is sitting there? Look, you are a perfectly normal human being. If you're having trouble believing that God is who he is. Nothing wrong with having trouble with that. I mean, I wish all of us could just hear from his word and say, he is God, yes. But our world has influenced us so much. So much to the point where so many people are saying, well, he's not real. You bunch of people, y'all get together together, and you got a nice little Bible with scripture stuff, and I'm sure all that was made up by somebody somewhere in a little room somehow. And you people, you know, religion is used to coerce people and to control people. That's what it is. Yeah, I mean, religion may be, but not a relationship with the Lord. If you've got a relationship with the Lord, you're answering to God, not a pastor. You're answering to God, not a Sunday school teacher. You're answering to God, not a church. You have a relationship with him. It's totally different. My hope and desire is that you will give God a chance in your life. Let him be Lord. Inquire. Be inquisitive. Ask questions. Look into the Word of God. Look into it. Allow God's Spirit to speak to your spirit. What is he saying to you? Ask questions as you read the Word of God. Study the Word. God will speak to your heart. He will. Open up the ears of your heart and listen.
Thank you for listening to the Words of Encouragement podcast. It's good to have you along. And this is the preaching ministry from the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman, and it's good that you're able to hear us and join in as we share the Word of God with you. If you have any questions, please go to fbcwinnsboro.com, fbcwinnsboro.com. Of course, you can subscribe to this podcast, and you can even watch the service online right there at the website. And so we'd invite you to join in and look at our website. You can pretty much have most of your questions answered. And if not, you can always email us through that website. Please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. This has been Words of Encouragement from the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro.